gonna be round my vegetables. I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade and am the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 6 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, help with depression, cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition, I'll answer your nutritional questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. And this is a call-in show, so please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We welcome any and all questions and stories you'd like to share. We'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. So thank you so much for joining me today. Happy New Year, everyone. It's the beginning of the year, and many of us have made resolutions to do better in different areas of our life. For many of the clients who come in to see us around this time of year, those resolutions involve starting a new diet. I, of course, am all for delicious, nutritious food and eating for health and wellness, but I'm not a huge fan of diets. And today, I'm dedicating this show to how to avoid the diet trap. And it's interesting. So many people are dieting this time of year. And when we look at the statistics of the people who are successful with dieting, they're very slim. I mean, it's 95 to 98% of people that lose the weight, gain it back, and then some. So with those types of statistics, it doesn't seem like the best approach to take. So in today's show, we're going to give you some tools that could help to avoid the diet trap and also offer tips on what really works. And today, I'm really excited to introduce Sue Bates. She's a psychotherapist, and she has 37 years of experience in working with people, with couples with therapy issues, eating disorders, and you can find out more about her at SueBates.com. So welcome, Sue. It's so great to have you.
Oh, hi. Thanks, Jennifer. So how long have we been working together? About 7 years now or something?
You know, it seems like it. I mean, you and I are a great team.
Yeah, we've been working together a long time. And in my practice, I refer all my clients to Jennifer and her team for nutrition because they do such a great job.
You know, and it's the same, too, with therapy. I mean, it seems like, I know I've said this so many times, but the clients that work with you, I feel like we get results so much faster when they're seeing you. So it's a really nice combined approach.
Okay, good. Great. Thanks.
Yeah, and before we continue, I want to mention that this show is not about eating disorders, even though Sue specializes in working with eating disorders as well. Really, this is for all women and actually many men out there as well. The tips that we're going to share today can apply to everyone. So, yeah. Sue, I invited you on the show today because I know that you have a gift of working with women who struggle with food. So can you tell our listeners a bit more about what you do and how you work with clients?
Oh, sure. I love the topic of this show because at this time of year, you're right. I think we both get a lot of people that want to lose weight, in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
And even if people don't have an eating disorder, and especially women, all you have to do is go out to lunch with them, and they talk about how many calories does this have, and this is what I ate during the holidays, and oh, I shouldn't eat this, and so there's a lot of time, especially with women, spent around food, body, and weight. So when people come in and they want to lose weight or they have issues with food, one of the first things I talk about, this is like really important, so everybody write it down. If you weren't spending time worrying about your food, body, and weight, even if it's a little bit of the time, what would you be worried about in your life? Because talking about food, body, and weight, it's on a continuum. So some people have an eating disorder, but some people have just dysfunctional relationship with food. Some people worry about just a little bit. So you can look at where you fit on the continuum of that. But ask yourself, how much time do you spend worrying about food, body, and weight? How much time do you... What happens is people get on like this treadmill of a hamster, and they're like, oh, I can't eat this. It's got too much fat in it. Oh, I really want it. Oh, I need to lose weight. Oh, is this guy going to call me if I gain weight? Oh, is my husband going to like me? And so they're on this treadmill, and they spend a lot of times, people spend a lot of time during the day worrying about this. And if they're not overtly worrying about it, they've at least got it in the back of their mind. So if you ask yourself, if I weren't doing that, what would I be worried about? You're going to get the answers in your life about what you really need to look at. Because people, I think, start out the new year with wanting to diet because they think it's a new year, I'm going to be a better me. So the first thing on the top of their list is losing weight, which for health reasons, that's a great idea. But other than that, it doesn't do anything for you. So looking at what you would worry about is a lot harder to deal with than getting off the diet treadmill.
Oh, that's such great advice. Because, you know, I often wonder that just on a global level, or just even if we look at our culture, if we were to take all the women and all the time that gets spent on body and food and weight, I mean, how this world can be just a completely different place if we channeled that energy into other areas.
Yeah, because we women have so much to do and so much power. And see if I remember that book. There's a new book called The Rise of Women and the Fall of Men. No offense, but it's really talking about more women are going to college and graduating than men, and more women are stepping up to the plate and getting careers and doing more in our society. And I just hate to see women waste their time, even for a few minutes during the day, and that when we women do that, when we talk about our food, our body, and our weight, and that's our focus, that's what the girls in our life are learning.
Yes.
So I always like to say powerful women equals powerful girls.
Oh, it's so true. And we see that cycle continue over and over again.
Right, exactly. And y'all do a lot of work with women and teaching their daughter, well, their kids, how to eat, right?
It's true. We end up working with a lot of teenagers as well. So, and when they're younger than that, we typically work through the parents as far as what kind of modeling they're doing, how they're approaching food. Those types of things.
Yeah, because I think, well, I know. people come in to see me, I go, okay, one of the first things I tell them is you need to go see one of our nutritionists. And people go, oh, I've seen nutritionists, I know how to eat. And so I have to spend a lot of time explaining to them that I know you think you do, and seeing a regular nutritionist is completely different than seeing a nutritionist that really knows how to work with these food issues. So I like... One of the things you talk to them a lot about is protein, right?
It's true.
Yeah, because what I see, and I've seen for a long time, is that people will talk about, oh, I really love sugar, and oh, I'll eat sugar and carbohydrates. And when they start seeing you guys, they learn to add protein and some other things to their diet, and a lot of times those cravings go away.
You know, that's one of the things I love about working with nutrition is because oftentimes I see where women are really beating themselves up and thinking that they're a horrible person because of their sugar cravings and that, you know, they just can't stop. But a lot of times there's something physiologically off balance, you know, with what they're eating that's contributing to those cravings. So I love working on that underlying issue. So then it's not willpower and white knuckling it. It's more that they just don't crave the sugar in the same way.
That's so true. And I really see that difference all the time. And I was going to say something else about that. Diving. Oh, yeah, a lot of times, I used to, a long time ago, don't tell anybody, I used to work at Nutrisystem Weight Loss Medical Centers. It was like 35 years ago, so it was a long time.
Yeah.
But that's one of the times I really realized that people diet, but it's not their fault that it doesn't work.
Right.
And every individual woman thinks it's their fault and there's something wrong with them.
I know, that's one of those things. If we just look at the statistics around it, if it's 95 to 98% of people gain back the weight, it's something wrong with the system. It's something wrong with the method. You know, the fact that we take this on personally and make it that we somehow failed, I mean, I think it's the only way that the dieting industry in this country stays so lucrative. It's because it goes back to blaming the individual and willpower when really that's not the case.
That's right, because it's really not willpower. It really is about adding food to your diet. And I love the part that you talk about eating full fat foods, because it usually freaks people out.
Oh, it does. I remember actually, if I think back to when you and I were first getting to know each other and we went out to lunch and you saw how much butter I ate. And
oh, that's right.
And you said, obviously you have a healthy relationship with food. I'm referring to you.
Yeah, I love when we go out to eat now. I say, okay, bring extra butter. It's not for me. It's for her.
It's true. And, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, one of the things I love about the work you do is that you just really have this ability to empower women and help them feel this, you know, to think about other things besides food in their body. And it reminds me of a Deepak Chopra quote that I love, which I don't remember it exactly, but it's something to the effect of, you know, the way to turn around HIV and AIDS rates in Africa isn't to pass out condoms. It's to empower the women. Because when women are educated, when women are empowered, you know, things change in the world. And statistically, I mean, we've seen that on so many levels. And then there's that Janine Roth quote, nothing can keep a woman down like an eating disorder. And like you were saying, there's so many levels. I mean, people are on such different places on that continuum. Even though we're talking to women in general, you know, and not all of them have eating disorders, you know, we're all somewhere on a spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And one of the, you know, the topic of the show is how to avoid diet traps.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's like, just don't diet, people. It's just not going to work. And what I get people in, they're usually wanting to work on their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And all the studies show that in a relationship, and women have known this for, you know, millions of years, is that women really do set the tone of the relationship. But I see women come in, and I think that the way they handle food, body, and weight is pretty much directly proportionate to how much they have a voice, how much they can stand up for themselves and ask for what they want. So one of the main underlying issue is women and their power and how do they set up their life. And those are the things to look at to avoid the diet trap.
And so do you mean by that that when women have more of a voice and they have more power, that they're less likely to be caught up in body weight food?
Yes, because if you do the body weight food, you don't have to go out and be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 64. So I'm really, or almost 64, so I'm really pretty much the first generation of women that have had a lot of power. And the younger women that come into my office, 20s and early 30s, well, even in the 30s, they don't really know what it was like before the feminist revolution when we had some changes. So I think women are, we're just the second and third generation getting really used to having the choices that we have, and how we're going to manage that in our life, and how we're going to have power and also have, you know, relationships and a family and work.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for us to take a quick break, but stay with us. And when we return, we'll hear more from Sue and some diet traps that many of us can fall into.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Sue Bates, a therapist with 37 years experience, specializes in eating disorders and practical couples therapy. You can find out more about Sue at SueBates.com. So Sue, what are the common diet traps that many women fall into? What are you seeing?
Well, again, I think it's a lot about trying to lose weight quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so focused on how they look. Even women that are 5 or 10 pounds to lose, they really think that other people see this.
Mm-hmm.
And they really think it'll make a really big difference if they lose. And I have people, clients, that are really way overweight, like late 100 or high 100s or 200 pounds, something like that. And the ones that have some confidence and get out in the world, they have men ask them out. They get jobs. I don't think it's like our whole society puts on.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I agree. That's one of those things that I'm continually amazed about. You know, we'll have somebody come in and they sit down and they're wanting, their big focus is on weight loss. And a lot of times they're crying and, I mean, they're really feeling badly about it. And I look at them and think, gosh, this is an absolutely beautiful, vibrant woman.
Well, that's how I learned that this really isn't about food, body, and weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have women in their 20s. Well, really, truly, every woman in their 20s is really pretty. It's amazing. But you don't know that till later on. But I have women in their 20s that are models, that really are models and actresses, and they don't feel good about themselves either. It's the wider issue of women not having power and feeling good about themselves.
You know, and with, I mean, 37 years of experience, you have worked with so many women over the years, and you've seen so many trends come and go, and just ways of viewing food and body. So you have so much wisdom to share with people.
Well, thank you. And what's very discouraging is it's just busy all the time,
mm-hmm.
and it just keeps coming, and nothing's changing. So we've got to do something about changing this, because it's just so bad for the girls that are coming up in the world, too.
It's so true. That's why I feel good about the work that you and I do.
Yeah.
Now, we have a caller. We have Meg from Redmond. Thank you for calling Passionate Nutrition Radio, Meg.
Hi. I had a question for Sue.
Great.
I'm Meg from Redmond. I think I know you.
Yes, we do, I think. And I wanted to know if... how do we, you know, women often, we're the ones that start in terms of, I really agree with, you know, if we all worked, especially for me on my marital relationship,
mm-hmm.
Then I wouldn't be so focused on how I'm looking and all those feelings of insecurity that you know are insane and you still seem on the treadmill. But I was wondering, how do we go ahead and take the step of trying to get our husbands in the therapy, but feeling, I think a lot of us feel like, if I have to initiate, then he's not even going to, you know, it doesn't count. Or
right.
how do we effectively negotiate our relationships?
Well, see, that's a great question. One of the things that John Gottman from the University of Washington, he did studies for 30 years on what makes a relationship work well and happy. And he says one of the most important things is that the men will take influence from the women. Now, that doesn't unfortunately mean that they're going to do everything we want, but it does mean that if a man will listen, then the relationship will be better. And what women don't understand is how much power they have in the relationship. They just don't know how to say it and ask for it. usually what they do is talk and nag. And one of the most important things for women to learn is that you need to just know. You need to stand in your truth and know, honey, this isn't working for either one of us. You're not getting what you want, and you can name out the behaviors that they're not getting. And I'm not getting some of what I want. So it's very important to me for us to go in and see someone to work on this. And then they're going to say, oh, we can do that ourselves. I don't even know what they're going to say. And you can say, well, I really want you to come with me. And on my SueBates.com site, I have a little box there that says practical couples therapy, and you can go find out about how I work. And what I've done on there is I've done the copy to really gear it towards men, because I want to work with couples so people get a lot of results very quickly and they can really see what's going on. So I hope that answers your question, is that you've got to stand in your truth. You've got to insist. And that doesn't mean, yes, we're going. When are we going? If you called, we're going to go. It's just, we're going to go. I have it set up. I would love for you to come with me. I'm going to go by myself. You know, if they say they're not coming, then say, well, I'm going to go by myself. I'd love for you to join me. And they'll usually come because they want to know what we're talking about.
That helps. I was actually writing down some of those things that you were saying because I need a script. So I love that, the behaviors, here's what's not working, here's what I see, and just being matter of fact. And
Women will just say, I'm not happy and I need for you to respect me, but they don't know how to say it in a way that the man will listen to them.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling, Meg.
Okay, thanks.
Now, Sue, why do you think that these traps are so common, these dieting traps that we get in the new year?
Well, okay, that's a great question. I love this. And I hope it's okay to say it this way, but this is what I talk to the clients about. I think that we human beings, not just women, of course, don't have a really good way of having critical thinking about what's going on, because we do have the magazines, the movie stars, the movies get so big and it's so prevalent that we really start thinking that's the way life is and that we're supposed to look like that. And Dr. Drew wrote a book about the actresses and actors in Hollywood and how really they have a lot of issues going on and a lot of issues about needing attention and love. And, of course, that's why a lot of them are actors. So we think, well, that's normal, and I can look like old Jennifer Aniston. And I remember reading, I don't know if it's true or not, but I remember reading when she was on Friends that she only ate like a salad, the same thing for lunch every day for 10 years. And I'm not saying Jennifer Aniston has an eating disorder, but that's one of the things we learned, that people have a serious problem with food if they're eating the same thing all the time.
Right. It gives them such a sense of control, it seems like.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another thing. I may be getting off the subject, though. So we were talking about, okay, critical thinking. So I think it's so important for women to have some critical thinking. Like, really? Do you know no women that are overweight that are in relationships? Really? Mm-hmm. Do you know no women that have good jobs and they're overweight? Because it's not true that there's a huge prejudice against overweight. Because if you're confident and outgoing and you'll do a good job at the company, people want people that do a good job. So I think critical thinking is one of the things to look at so we don't get in the trap of dieting.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And it is true, even like what you were bringing up about movie stars and what we see and how we start to accept that as reality. And it's interesting. I feel like we see that a lot with clients that we work with, that they also feel that in terms of their weight, that, you know, we've start to accept people that are really underweight as more the norm or the ideal.
Right. I like what you said that time. You said the only people that's normal for is little Asian girls.
Did I say that?
But everybody else, it's not normal to be really thin. They have to be working out several hours a day, and they have to not be eating very much at all.
It's true. I mean, we just all have such a different genetic makeup and what our body is naturally predisposed to look like. And I mean, for some people, it would take absolutely heroic measures to look like they do in the movies.
Right. And they have the time sometimes. They have all day long to do it if that's what they want to do.
Right. I mean, I think many of us, if we had a personal chef that prepared all of our meals, we could sleep however long we wanted. You know, we could work out as much as we had time for. I mean, if we had that type of a life, we would see a lot of changes too.
Yeah, I think you're right. Exactly. And, you know, one of the things we see a lot up here in the Northwest that I think a lot of people don't know about and probably on the West Coast is orthorexia.
Yes.
And also women that are bulimic, but you can also be bulimic with exercise, not binging and purging.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point. Can you talk more about that just so our listeners know what you're referring to?
Okay. Well, the orthorexia, and I bet you see a lot of that.
You know, I am a magnet for orthorexia.
You may want to look at that. Yeah, so orthorexia is people that are trying to eat perfectly. And they think, you know, like no sugar, no carbs, no fat. They think that's a healthy way to eat. But up here in the Northwest, we get carried away with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Absolutely. And at Bastyr, so I teach at Bastyr, and I think it's the breeding grounds for orthorexia. I mean, even though I love Bastyr, there's so many things about it where people are, you know, get so extreme and food sensitivities and food allergies and all these things to avoid that, you know, I feel concerned because then there's these practitioners going out in the world with orthorexia and then promoting this in clients that they work with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the bulimia is people that exercise a lot during the day. And I don't know what you probably know better than I what you would consider a lot of exercise during the day that would be bordering on bulimia.
You know, I don't know. I think it depends on the person and what, you know, it's different. I know that sometimes I'll work with clients and maybe they're on crew, you know, where they're rowing each day. And I mean, really, I feel like a lot of times these kids, college-age kids that I'm working with, that it does border on exercise bulimia.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But it seems like it's so different with each person. I wouldn't be able to give an exact number.
Right, okay. Yeah, I've heard through the years of talking to people that work at colleges and are coaches for women's teams that really about 75% of the young women have an eating disorder of some kind. And that's another thing. People see all these really buff women that go to yoga all the time and climb mountains and climb Mount Rainier, and they think that's the norm. But a lot of times, people that are doing that, they never feel like it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's another part of this. They're never good enough. It's never perfect enough. And they're also the kind of women that work themselves to death at work.
So true. And it seems like there's this energy around it. You know, talking about how it's different for each person, it's like what you're mentioning. There's this energy around the exercise that goes along with it that feels like it's more of that exercise bulimia.
Right. That's a really good part. Good point. Like, if they really do like going to climb in Mount Rainier on the weekends, more power to them. And and I think that's great. But, like, are you enjoying it? Like, maybe you're doing it with your boyfriend, your husband, or your friends, and it's a really nice thing. But are you telling yourself, oh, I've got to get to that mountain no matter what? Like, what is that?
Right.
And one of the things about women and food issues is they usually don't have the terms in their vocabulary of, oh, well, and good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things I have to work with women clients with a lot.
Yeah, that's great. That's a wonderful lesson. Now, it's time for us to take a quick break, but stay tuned. When we return, we'll share some valuable tips on how to avoid the common diet traps and what to do instead. And please feel free to call in with any questions throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Shine. Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Hi, I'm Susan Jacoby, your host with Conversations That Heal. Conversations That Heal is a show that opens conversations to give hope and heal our hearts. I am a motivational speaker, an author, and an advocate for survivors of childhood trauma. For more about me and Conversations That Heal, please visit our website, conversationsthatheal.com. And tune in every Tuesday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 for Conversations That Heal.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insight, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once, and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. Today I'm here with Sue Bates, a therapist with 37 years of experience, and she specializes in eating disorders and practical couples therapy. You can find out more about Sue at SueBates.com. So, Sue, what are some of the most common diet traps that you see in your practice?
Well, I think we sort of veered from the diet trap. I think I'm refining it to what do women show up with? What are the underlying issues going on? And the common ones I find are, am I going to get a boyfriend? It's about the ones that are dating. And in the marriage, if women have gained weight, well, actually, it's really funny how many women are married and in a relationship and their husband don't care, because most men don't care. But I see a lot of women that do show up and they're afraid that their husband cares or their boyfriends, but they really don't. The only men that will bother you or talk to you about your weight are men that are controlling. So they have a big other issue going on. But most men don't care. They like sex. They like women. They like the curves. They're not under the sheet with a flashlight going, oh, you have some cellulite here, and oh, didn't you put on 5 pounds? They're much more healthy than we are about this.
Yeah, that reminds me of, I think, what movie was that? Or I guess it was Eat, Pray, Love. You know, Julia Roberts says, okay, have you ever been in a room, or I forget how it goes, but something about, have you ever gotten naked with a man? And he says, oh, no, you've gained 10 pounds.
I know, that's so great. I love that. And they're sitting there eating pizza.
Right.
Yeah, it's so fun. And it's really, the other thing that women do a lot of is they do a lot of projection. So projection is, you've got these feelings inside of you about yourself and your thoughts, and you're projecting it onto other people. So it is amazing to me how many young women worry about men not liking them if they're a bit overweight or even really overweight. There are websites for dating for men that like really overweight women. And I'm not promoting that, because I think it might be healthier to be, you know, to eat better, but still. So women worrying about what men will think is a huge trap that gets them into want to diet. And it's just not true.
You're absolutely right. And it's also so cultural. You know, everybody has a different body type. Everybody has a different genetic predisposition to how their body is going to look. And the great thing about it is, I mean, all around the world, and I mean, people are attracted to different types of bodies. I mean, even if we go to other cultures, you know, in the U.S., Hollywood movie stars tend to be very thin. They fit this stereotype of what we think of as ideal beauty. However, mm-hmm. say we go to Bollywood films, which they produce more films than we do in the U.S., and it's more curvy, voluptuous women.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's true around the globe. You know, if we go to many parts of the world, so there's parts of Europe, Central or South America, Africa, you know, where more voluptuous, curvy bodies are the ideal.
And that idea that, oh, that's the other thing. It just drives me insane. I love Dr. Oz, but when he starts talking about losing weight, I want him to also talk about, when he talks about the dangers of being overweight, in the same sentence, I want him to be talking about people with bulimia and anorexia. Because people may look like they have a normal body type, but people that are bulimic or anorexic are not healthy.
Right.
And I love that book that you like, the
Healthy at Every Size?
Yeah.
Love that book.
So what do you like most about that? What's in that that you like a lot?
Well, I think it just changes our perspective. You know, in our culture, we look at weight as being the biggest indicator of health.
Yeah.
And it's actually not. I know I'll meet with clients every day that would be classified in a healthy weight range, but that mm-hmm. are very unhealthy. You know, or clients that would be classified as obese or mm-hmm. overweight and are so much healthier. You know,
right.
And I love this book, Healthy at Every Size, because it provides a lot of research and data that support this. And it's just interesting how in our culture we take it as such a given that overweight means unhealthy, and that's just not so.
Right. And it's just, I know you feel this too, and I talk to Aaron a lot that works with you, and we just hear the same things over and over and over, and I'm really concerned about the next generation because our girls aren't learning how to be healthy, strong women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a big problem, huge problem.
It's a huge problem because we're just seeing it perpetuated. And, I mean, there has to be some, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, what do you tell clients on how to avoid the diet trap?
Well, all this stuff, and mm-hmm. it takes a few sessions to get through it all, to really talk it through and get people to have some critical thinking and really look at what's going on. And I talk a lot about being awake and aware and present. Mm-hmm. People overeat, because if you're overeating, you're not enjoying the food. Mm-hmm. You're not really paying attention. So whether you're going to lose weight or not, you want to enjoy your food. So the part of it about is being awake and aware and present. And if you're bulimic or if you're just sort of worrying about your food, you're not really focusing on enjoying it. You're worrying about other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to take women understanding that they need to be the best that they can be in the world. And that's what women really want. They want to make a difference in the world. That's the most important thing to women. And one of the things that happens to women a lot is they take care of everybody else but themselves. I know you see this a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. And what I've learned, that's why I came up with Powerful Women Equals Powerful Girls. Because I'll see a woman come in and she's dating a guy that won't show up. He doesn't call. He's not quite ready for sex. Or, you know, what man's not ready for sex? But anyway. And so he's not showing up. And I say, okay, if you had a 16-year-old daughter, you know, granted you wouldn't want her dating an older man, but if she was dating someone like this, would you want her in this relationship? And they can say right away, no. So if you start asking, if you had a daughter that's 5 or 6 years old or 15 or 16, would you want this for them? Would you want them to be in a workplace like this? Would you want their mother-in-law to treat them like this? It's like all you have to do is ask that question. And you can get to the answer about how you need to be more powerful.
Mm, I love that. So it really sounds like food and body and weight is just more of a cover-up for the deeper issues that are going on.
Yeah, it is. And it's not even like everybody's fucked up. That isn't. It's just not being talked about and brought up very much. So women keep doing the cultural thing of, I've got to lose weight, I've got to lose weight, I've got to lose weight. So I would love to challenge women for 2013 to pick 3 words that they would like to concentrate on this year and write it up where you can see it. Put a post in the bathroom and in your car and in your office. But it needs to be 3 words of how do you want to be more powerful this year? Maybe the 3 words would be speaking up or a voice, something like that.
or standing up for myself, setting boundaries, asking for what I want. So three words that would say how you would want to be powerful. And it could be like women that are single and they're trying to date. It could be dating. Or it could be women that want a promotion, moving up, you know, at work, career, something like that. So if you have it written and you can see it, you can think about it every day.
And what have you seen with clients that have done this, where they've taken those three words? Does anything come to mind?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really good because they have it in their mind all the time. And I had one client a few years ago, and her in-laws weren't treating her very well, and she had those three words, and she's like, I finally stood up to them. I said, and, you know, in a good way, being assertive is not like putting other people down. It's just standing up for yourself. Mm-hmm. So she started saying, this is not okay for me. You need to remember my name. My husband's ex-wife's name. It's my name, you know, and things like that. So it keeps it focused on what is really important in your world. And food, body, and weight is not.
Yeah, that's great. And it seems like food, body, and weight is just what's so socially acceptable. You know, if somebody comes into a break room and they say, you know, I feel fat today, then, you know, the other people in the break room chime in and saying, oh, I do too, and my pants don't fit me, and I'm going to do this diet. Do you want to do it with me? And it seems like that's just so ingrained within us. Whereas if we came into the break room and we said, you know, I'm feeling really lonely today, or I'm feeling depressed, you know, that there would be silence. You know, we just, it's like we don't know how to deal with those bigger issues. But when it comes to body and weight, it's the norm.
That's a really good point. I like that. And it's a way for women to bond.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to challenge women to start talking about bragging. And you have to tell people what you're doing, because some people get offended by women bragging. But I always promote that in my office and when I do groups. Is you need to be around people, around friends that you can say, oh, I'm going for this promotion, or I stood up to my husband this week, or I told my son he's got to work for what I give him. He just can't have it for free.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. To have real conversations, you know, deeper conversations with other women, it sounds like, beyond food and body.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, what happened in the feminist revolution, I was just talking to a 20-year-old client about this the other day, is that we had consciousness raising groups, and it's where women got together and started talking about really what's going on and what's bothering them.
Mm-hmm.
And what women do a lot is they gripe about men instead of really learning how to talk to them and how to make their relationships work.
Yeah, that's powerful. And one of the things I love, I take a ferry when I come into downtown Seattle. And in the ferry, in the bathroom in the morning, it is packed with women. I mean, packed. You have to wait in line to get a spot at the mirror, because that's where people do their hair and their makeup. You know, we have 35 minutes. So that's when a lot of people do it. So it becomes this really nice community of women. And what I've appreciated about that is the discussions that people have, you know, where there are more discussions, and it's, you know, Bainbridge tends to have an older population, so I feel like there's so much wisdom in that bathroom in the morning.
That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah. Well, it's time for us to take a quick break, so stay tuned, and when we talk, we'll return and discuss more about how to avoid the diet trap. And as always, please feel free to call in with any questions at any time throughout the show. We'd love to hear from you and hear your stories. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'll be right back.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Are you eco-conscious? What about being humane conscious too? Choosing to live humanely includes buying cruelty-free products, learning where our food comes from, and how animals are treated. On Living Humane, we explore how our choices for humane living are ever expanding. Join us this Saturday at 2 p.m. when we'll speak with the owners of Pizza Pie, a vegan pizzeria in the University District, as well as Kara Main Hester from the Seattle Animal Shelter to discuss their new Bunny Rabbit Spay-Neuter program for the public. Join us on Living Humane.
Known for her practical wisdom and deep connections, show host Debbie Whitlock can now be heard twice each week, Fridays at 9 a.m. for Femme Finance, and now Tuesdays at 9 a.m. for Femination. Two shows, 2 hours, dedicated to creating the prosperity and good fortune you deserve.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Sue Bates, therapist with 37 years experience specializing in eating disorders and practical couples therapy. So we've been talking about how to avoid the diet trap. And one of the things that I wanted to mention is that actually falling into that diet trap, you know, we're bombarded with everything on the television, the radio, you know, it's just shoved down our throat right now about losing weight and joining this program or that program in the gym. And actually, the thing that ends up happening this time of year is that people actually decrease their metabolism. So what they're trying to accomplish, they actually do the opposite. So what we hear over and over again is the way to lose weight is to eat less and exercise more. Well, the thing is, we have such an all-or-nothing mentality in the U.S. that what tends to happen is this time of year, people go on these very restrictive diets. They start exercising more than they normally would. And what this does is this puts the body into a fearful place, you know, where the body says there's a famine, there's a food shortage, there's some big type of stress going on right now. And so the way the body responds, because our body is all about survival, you know, it's all about the species continuing. So what it does is it slows down our metabolism. So when people cut down on what they're eating, say they decrease what they're eating by about 20%, oftentimes our metabolism is just going to slow down by about 20%. And on the other side, when people start eating more by about 20%, their metabolism will just pick up. And this is because our body doesn't like anything to get out of whack. You know, it doesn't like for anything anything to get too off. You know, that's why our blood sugar, our blood pressure, you know, all these systems in the body, it likes to maintain real stability. So when we throw our body for a loop in this way, our body gets a strong fear trigger. Our metabolism slows down. So this is why we hear so often that people will diet, they lose weight, but then they gain it back, and then usually about 5 pounds more. And each time we do that, what happens is our set point changes, or our metabolism changes. So I'll meet with clients that their set point, they might be eating the same amount of calories that they did 20 years ago, but what's happened is all these years of dieting has made it where their metabolism has slowed down, and then just naturally how our body changes over time, you know, where they could be drastically higher in weight eating the same amount of calories. So it's just such a setup for failure, and the more times we do it, the more emotional toll, like Sue sees so often, and also the harder it is to lose weight in the long run.
And that's one of the reasons I insist that my clients that come and see you guys, because that's helped me so much. When I first met you, you told me about eating like every 3 hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, like, I get a little hungry like every three and a half hours. And I went on vacation with a friend. She goes, "You're hungry already?" It's like, well, I didn't eat the moon, and I eat like every few hours because I think my metabolism revved up because of that.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, that's interesting that you bring that up. It's that one of the things that's often really confusing for people is as their metabolism picks up that they're actually more hungry.
And yeah, that's true. Yeah,
a lot of times people will see this. They'll say, wait, I don't want to have breakfast. If I have breakfast, I'm more hungry. And I say, that's a really good sign. And the reason that is because if we've gone all night long and we haven't eaten and then we wake up in the morning and then we don't eat, that also sends that fear response to the body, you know, where it says, wait a minute, there's a food shortage. So our metabolism slows down, and we see that throughout the day. Whereas if we have breakfast, our body says, woohoo, you know, everything's okay. Burn up the food coming in. Our metabolism picks up. And that's why we're hungry earlier, later in the morning. But people take that as a bad sign, you know, that they're trying to lose weight and they're eating more.
Yeah, some people get really freaked out. It's like, I'm eating more. I'm like, yes, that's sort of the point. I also, one of the things I talk to people about is we're really just animals, really.
Mm-hmm.
Our body doesn't care what size of dress we want to wear or what we want to weigh on the scale. And if you had a dog or a cat and you didn't feed them, what would they do? They'd be eating everything they could get their hands on because we're really just animals.
It's such a good point. So this time of year, when people start going those restrictive diets and they cut back so much on what they're eating, and then they feel so guilty when they binge or they overeat at night. I mean, it's just a setup.
Yeah, let's make a pact to hopefully other people will agree to. Don't join a gym in January. At least wait till, you know, March or April when everybody's dropped out of the gym and nobody's there. And just start doing exercise that will work for you. It's like they say, if you don't do something that's a lifestyle, you're not going to keep doing it. I belong to so many gyms. I've spent so much money, and I just won't go. I tried for years. But I'll get out and walk with my dog, and it just is part of my day.
Yeah. I mean, and I think you're absolutely right. Doing something that's part of our day or that we enjoy, you know, that's something that we're going to be able to stick with.
And everybody knows what they really want to do and what will work for them. I think people just get really busy. And again, they're not awake and aware and present about them.
It's true.
We don't have time to talk about this, but one of the things I always work with people is really, what do they want in their life? It takes like 20 minutes to figure that out. It doesn't take long.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is trying to keep realistic goals. I know this time of year, we see a lot of people that come in and, you know, maybe they've been eating out every meal and they want to cook everything at home from scratch. That's just not realistic. It's too big of a step. You know,
right.
Maybe it's making the goal of twice a week to cook something at home, you know, so that it's a sustainable step that they can continue with. Because so many clients are all or nothing. Either they're eating really well or they're completely, what they say, off the wagon.
And starting out the new year, I know I do this sometimes. I'll, like, do too much exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm old. Yeah, I really hurt myself when I do that. So you got to start slow.
Yes. Slow and steady. That's what's sustainable.
Yeah, and do things you enjoy, like getting a partner to walk with you or run or whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that helps with that accountability, too. And it makes it more fun. I mean, to do it with somebody else when it's raining outside, it's going to be much more likely to happen.
Because if you want power, you do have to have a pretty strong body to, you know, get up and do the work you need to do and make your life happen.
Absolutely. Being the healthiest people that we can be, that helps us to have the biggest impact that we can in the world.
Right. And the other thing is everybody is not going to look like these people on TV. It's not going to happen.
Right.
And you know, if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, you know you've tried forever to do something that's not working. So try and do something else.
Exactly. That quote, you know,
how's it working for you?
Right. How's it working for you? Or if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, that's the definition of insanity.
Exactly. And
I feel like that's what January is all about. You know, it's been a whole year, so we forget that dieting doesn't work. And so then we get back on that treadmill.
Yeah, and focus on that instead of what's really important to us.
Right. And it's not to say that improving our nutrition or making changes couldn't be a positive thing. It's more that energy behind it. Let's get away from the diet mentality, the restriction mentality, and move into a healthy, sustainable plan that not just 2 months from now we could be doing, but 2 years from now.
And that you enjoy.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely. The enjoyment has to be there.
Right.
So, Sue, it's been such a pleasure having you today. I mean, your 37 years of experience really shows through in the wisdom that you give to people and the amazing advice. I mean, it's just a parent what you offer the world?
Well, thank you. I really enjoy being on the show. And as you can tell, I get on my soapbox about women and power.
Which is a great thing.
Yeah. And I love working with you guys. You, the people that you have working with you, you train them very well. Oh. And they all do a good job.
Thank you. So please join us next week for Passionate Nutrition Radio. And what we're going to be talking about is practical tips. We're going to look at new habits for the new year. And there's going to be a Passionate Nutrition client that's going to be joining me who has lost quite a bit of weight, but the changes that have happened have been more through their lifestyle. So where they're not feeling deprived, and also it's been effective for them. So it should be fascinating and a super informative show. And to learn more about Passionate Nutrition, please visit us at passionatenutrition.com or give us a call at 206-595-0376. And once again, to learn more about Sue Bates, you can visit her website at suebates.com. Have a great week.
I'm gonna keep well my vegetables.
Views expressed on the preceding program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. Contests mentioned during this program are the responsibility of the host of this program and not of the station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Good afternoon, Eric Ryder here with you on Alternative.